Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group. And we are, of course, on iHeartRadio. It is August the 3rd. August the 3rd. And, of course, we are always pleased to be with you. Our call-in number is 312-374-8130. America's Heroes Group. We are globally connected with Kaiser Health News Roundtable. And with us on our live line, we are pleased to have Cara Anthony, who is a Kaiser Health News writer. And Cara is a Midwest correspondent, comes to KHN after serving as a multimedia reporter at the Belleville News Democrat. A native of East St. Louis, Illinois, she previously worked at the Indianapolis Star, the Frederick, Maryland News Post, and the Daily Press in Newport News, Virginia. She co-moderated USA Today network events during the 2016 election in her six-part Belleville News Democrat series titled, quote, Then I Knew, end quote, about racism in America was nominated in 2018 for an Emmy. She's a graduate of the Tennessee State University, and we are so pleased to have her on. How are you, Cara?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Cliff. Glad to be here.
It's a pleasure. You have done something that is extremely interesting to all of us, not only the veteran population, so many of us are veterans, but this is something that is just great for everybody, the veterans, the families thereof, people who are not veterans. You have done some work on how black pharmacists are closing the cultural gap in health care. And that's worth talking about, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. There's a huge black doctor shortage in America. Only 6% of the country's physicians are African American. Only 7% are pharmacists. And so we find these two groups kind of converging and working together to make sure that people really get the care that they need. Absolutely.
Now, you know, when you mention, Cara, those figures, those statistics, that in itself is something I, as an African-American, didn't even realize it was that low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, my goodness, that's I have an African-American doctor, but I'm in Chicago, which probably makes a difference in being able to find somebody of color. But when you say, you're talking about nationally, is that correct?
Absolutely. Those are national statistics. With only having that 6% of physicians who are African American, it can be really hard for Black America to find what we call culturally competent care. And that just means finding a provider who acknowledges your heritage, acknowledges your beliefs, incorporates your values during treatment. So that means, like, if prayer is important to you, if meditation or healing traditions are important to you, your provider should really take that into account. And that's for all people. It goes far beyond color, Cliff. It really does.
I love what you said, culturally competent care. That makes so much sense, Cara. It really does.
Yeah, and it's something that more consumers are starting to get in tune with. You know, I think within the medical field, that's something that you learn maybe when you first enter a pharmacy school or medical school. But now more consumers are starting to become aware of, like, hey, my doctor should acknowledge who I am in and outside of their office. And it really makes a difference and could really make you a healthier person, because studies absolutely show that you could have a healthier life, better outcomes, if your doctor acknowledges who you are and really treats you like a whole person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And of course, we know about the horrible situations in the past relative to certain things that went on in the black community that won't get into that, because we're talking about something positive now. But how are the black pharmacists, Cara, closing the cultural gap in healthcare? This is great.
Yeah, so I found black pharmacies all across the country who one connecting thread that they have is inspirational music. You might go into one of these pharmacies, for example, the one in Southern Illinois, and you hear light contemporary Christian music playing. Another in Charlotte, North Carolina, they also play music there. They have counseling rooms, so they can really take time to, have one-on-ones with their patients that come in and have conversations. And really, they're able to break through incredible barriers because they are able to identify with the patients who they're seeing at the time. I think a lot of times people say, oh, it's my pharmacy. I go in and out of there, or maybe even you have a pharmacist online. They're really making a difference here because they're really taking the time. And that's what we've seen at these pharmacies across the nation in both the clinical setting and the traditional like Walgreens or independent pharmacy setting as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've seen that. You're absolutely correct on that. So this is growing, Cara, but how is this? You mentioned how they make their patients feel comfortable. Things like inspirational music can mean a lot, can't it?
It can, especially in the African-American community. Black Americans deeply identify with faith. And so a lot of times I think I've even had personal experiences when a provider acknowledges that, it just makes you comfortable on so many different levels and really allows you to open up and say more maybe about what's going on with you physically or mentally even. It just makes a world of difference, absolutely.
That's very interesting because if you feel more relaxed and you're hearing that music that you relate to, Cara, that can get you to say things to the pharmacist that you might not say otherwise.
Exactly. Yeah. Or just identifying with them on if they open up to you. I think the one thing that I learned during my reporting here is that the pharmacists are very open about who they are. In Southern Illinois, where I am in Shiloh, there are two pharmacists named Vincent and Lakeisha Williams. Mm-hmm. They're two young black millennial parents who are raising twin boys who are absolutely adorable. And they are very open about that. And so I think on every level, if you're not African American, but maybe you're a parent, or maybe you have some little ones in your life. I mean, they talk to you about that as well when you go into their pharmacy. And so it really works both ways here. And ultimately, again, it goes all the way back to potentially you'll have a better health outcome because you're being honest and forthright and have a comfort level there that maybe didn't exist before that can be a real barrier.
And that's so important, Cara. And of course, you know what I was talking about before, because I think it was in one of your reports, I was talking about, the Tuskegee Project, which, of course, which failed to treat black men with syphilis,
Oh, my goodness. That was huge. I actually really looked into that during my reporting here, and it was interesting to me to find when I was really digging into that project and what happened in the 1930s, the Public Health Service of the United States told 400 black men mm-hmm. that they had bad blood instead of being honest with them and telling them that they really had syphilis.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until 66 years later that Bill Clinton, our president at the time, in 1997 said, hey, we're sorry about this. So many black men even today can remember that, and their grandfathers can remember that. Mm-hmm. And so if they don't remember the project, they certainly remember the apology from Bill Clinton. And it just kind of reminds us that medical mistrust is a real issue because people have been taken advantage of in the past.
And it's so important to have trust, and of course that's one of the things we talk about, particularly with our veteran show, Cara, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
And we are so pleased to have her on our live line, and we will come back. You can get call us, I should say, at 312-374-8130 if you want to make a comment. This is just what is great is what she is doing in bringing about all of this great information. And the one thing, Cara, that when you started off, the percentages of African-American physicians,
6%? 6% of America's doctors are African-American, yeah.
And pharmacists, 7%.
7%.
Boy.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And, you know, even when we look at the numbers that are enrolled in school, about 9% of all pharmacy students in 2018 identified as Black or African American. And so there's definitely work that's being done. But
okay. It's going up. It is improving. You said
Absolutely. And there's definitely work that's being done to educate, young African-American people about the medical field and drawing them in and hoping that they gain interest there. There's a program I know that's based out of Texas that's doing some work in that area. I believe it's called Black Men in White Coats. They're really working hard to spread awareness across the country.
I like that. Black men in white coats. That's great. So this is just a great thing that's going on. How did you decide, because you've gotten award-winning research before, but how did you decide to, how did you recognize first, Cara, that this is a problem, and then that you decided to really do some research and let us know how serious it is?
So before I joined Kaiser Health News, I actually covered retail news and business news in Southern Illinois for the Belleville News Democrat. And so when the pharmacy, the Black-owned pharmacy here in our area opened, I noticed that there was a huge buzz about it online, like really explosive. I mean, it almost went viral. And I said, wow, like usually when a pharmacy opens, that's not that big of a deal. You know, it's like, okay, another pharmacy. But people, when I started to dig into like the Facebook comments and what people were saying and sharing, they were really excited about having two providers who they could identify with coming into our community. And so I just started to take a deeper look at that and also, you know, what the reactions of other Black pharmacies in the country, how their openings were received. And it just one thing led to another as I started talking to people, and I found that I really had a national story about culturally competent care.
And there, obviously, although in all cases it should not be the point, obviously, but the other thing is that some folks just don't feel good about treating someone or being treated both ways by someone who is not of their color.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I mean, bias in the medical field mm-hmm. is real, and sometimes, you know, it's unconscious bias, and
yes.
people don't even realize that they're coming into their office or the medical setting with those things, but they are. And so working past that, there's so much work being done. I interview one pharmacist named Dr. Lakeisha Butler, who talks a lot about how she's really pounding the pavement and really teaching people and her pharmacy students in Southern Illinois about that and unconscious bias and how to really just training them and educating them so that they can go in and give the best care and treatment possible in, again, either the drugstore setting or the clinical setting, wherever they may find themselves. It's definitely a real issue.
And I think that, you know, when you were doing your research, as you did so well, Cara, did you find anybody, a would-be patient or the doctor or the pharmacist themselves? Because you can see through some things. You say sometimes there's unconscious bias, but could you read that?
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely people who had bad experiences. The main character in my story, his name is Bernard Macon. His family, him and his wife, they experienced a miscarriage that was really, really hard on them. And his wife's doctor, they just felt as though they did not receive the kind of empathy or response that they wanted or deserved when they lost a baby. I mean, that's really hard, Cliff, when you're in, you know, experiencing something like that, first off, and then second, to feel as though your doctor is not hearing you or caring for you in the best way possible. That's really difficult. And so they have decided to really pursue black doctors all around in their big healthcare picture. I mean, their dentist is now black. Of course, they have the black pharmacist. The wife's gynecologist is now a black woman, I believe. So they have really gone in this direction for their family, and it's working for them. But it's really about finding people who you can identify with and who will empathize with you when you have things like that happen, because that was truly devastating for them.
And that was a group you wrote about, the health insurance change, and forced them, the Macons, to cut ties with the black doctor. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah. That was Bernard Macon and his wife, Brandy, yes.
Right. And then they that's when they had the problems.
Right, and so he was really, you know, searching and searching and searching, and then, you know, walks into the pharmacy one day and realizes, like, wow, well, here's someone who's meeting my need, but they're my pharmacist, which a lot of times, again, you know, I think sometimes we might write off your pharmacist, like, oh, like, why would I get to know that person? But really, it's important to know everyone who's a part of your, you know, healthcare and in your healthcare system, because it can really make a difference all around.
It certainly can. And of course, the one thing you mentioned, which is so important, that some folks' racism or whatever you want to call it is sometimes unconscious.
Oh, absolutely. We all deal with that. There's unconscious bias, no matter who you are, what field you're in. It's all something that we need to work on, and it manifests itself in different ways. Unfortunately, in the healthcare field, it can be deadly if it creeps up at a time where it just can really have a bad effect on people. And so finding someone who is well-trained and knows about culturally competent care is really a good move, I think, for all American citizens, not just black ones.
Absolutely. I agree with you. So give us, based on your award-winning research that you do, Carl Anthony, you gave us the statistics now, but you're seeing things getting better. How long is it going to be before we get a lot better than we are? I mean, can you give us any indication what you think?
Well,
I'm not talking about,
have,
you know, real percentages, but some uptick.
Well, there is some light at the end of the tunnel. We definitely are seeing more apps and technology. So what we could see in the next few years is this black tech boom, where people are creating apps for your phone that allow you to type in your zip code, and then it'll tell you, like, hey, here's a doctor of color near you. And so that is really hopeful. There are three in development right now. One is called Hued, another is called Health in Her Hue, and another actually will direct women of color to hospitals where they feel like they can have a safe birthing experience, because we know black mortality rates among women who are giving birth, it's just like really devastating when we think about the statistics there. And so that is the light. And so possibly it could get better in the next few years, even because these apps are actually launching this summer. So I think there is a lot of hope out there when it comes to this topic, and as more people get in tune with culturally competent care, even on the consumer side.
You know, and it's so interesting because the group you talked about the Macons and Brandy, the wife, was a, I believe you wrote, a physician assistant. who had worked in the medical field for 15 years, and she didn't feel heard by her doctor's office.
Exactly, exactly. That, I mean, it just shows that this can happen to anybody, even someone who, you know, knows a lot about the healthcare industry and dedicated her life to it, really. It's no respecter of person, and that's why, you know, it's important to really educate yourself and get out there and, you know, don't have a take what you can get attitude when it comes to healthcare. You can really design your own healthcare plan and be really strategic about it, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. You don't have to take what you can get. You can really go for the best for you and your family.
Well, you have done some great work. I'll tell you, it's great because you gave me some statistics, Cara, that I certainly did not. I knew they were not good, but let me say that I didn't know they were as low as they are relative to African-American pharmacists and physicians. So I'm just pleased when you write that, you know, they're trying to some degree close that gap. So that's just wonderful. They're closing the cultural gap in healthcare, and your report on this is really helpful for us to understand exactly what's going on and what we need to be doing more of. So thank you. How can people reach you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Cara R. Anthony. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. You can reach me through my Kaiser Health News email, which is just Cara A. at kff.org. Definitely here for everyone, and I love to hear people's stories, so please reach out. Thanks, Cliff.
You've been a great guest, and thank you so much for that great information, Cara. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. This is Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. This is America's Heroes Group. And we will be back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, WVON host and honored veteran, inviting you to listen every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. as I host America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power regarding the treatment of veterans, retired, and active, discussing concerns for affordable housing, social services, Medicare, and all services geared to veterans. America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Hey, Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
Hi, we're the National Women Veterans United, the proud sponsors and partners of the American Hero Group.
Our mission is to ensure that women veterans are aware and have access to their VA benefits, resources, and entitlements. We monitor current or pending legislation that may impact VA eligibility and services.
We're located at 7907 South Racine in Chicago, Illinois.
And we provide a safe place for women to come relax. We have a meditation room. They can get food, clothing, housewares, whatever emergency services they may need.
We're the only Women Veterans Center in the state of Illinois. We are members of the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard, and the Reserves.
Hey, everyone. You know, let's all stop what we're doing right now and take a moment. That felt good, huh? Just like that, we had a nice, special sort of moment together. Of course, they don't all need to be quiet moments to be special. They could be loud moments, goofy moments, sporty moments, dorky moments. Moments where we talk or walk or just hang out. It doesn't really matter. They all count. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. Sounds like somebody agrees. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Today, call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.